This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we will get to the trash of the day. Also at 12:30, Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, going to join us. We'll talk more about CAG's debut yesterday in St. Louis. We'll talk about what we're about to discuss, which is a decision that I think got a heck of a lot easier for the Royals, and that is what to do with the pitching staff based off of how well Noah Cameron has pitched. And you know, do you send him right back into AAA? Do you move Michael Lorenzen around? We were trying to figure out what to do, and I think they were as well. And Michael Lorenzen pitches last night. Tonight's Noah Cameron. This all, like a lot of things when it comes to pitching, either injuries, etc., all sorts itself out. Michael Lorenzen last night, 2 2/3 inning pitch, gave up 7 earned, 7 hits, walked one, just 2 strikeouts. He obviously did not have it yesterday, and that's a couple outings in a row now. And so the question of, you know, how effective he is and trade value and all that, well, the trade value thing, well, what's the trade value anyway at this point? So I think this is a pretty simple solution at this point in time. You move him to the bullpen, you allow Noah Cameron to keep pitching. Where it gets complicated is, if, let's say Noah Cameron gets rocked tonight, then you're like, well, okay.
Now what?
But if Noah Cameron pitches really well again tonight, then this should be fairly simple. Michael Lorenzen absolutely can help this team in the bullpen. I disagree with the notion that, like, went from the idea of, like, oh, you don't want to do it because you could get trade for him, to now, like, people don't think he's worth being on the staff. That's crazy. But bullpen? Yeah, I think that's the move. You move him to the bullpen if Noah Cameron pitches well tonight.
I, like most people, when you have a lot of good pitching, want it to be a difficult decision, right? I wanted Michael Lorenzen to make this hard to decide which way to go. His last 4 starts, 2 2/3 last night, he gave up 7 earned runs. In a game they won, thankfully. He went 5 innings and allowed 6 earned runs the start before that. He went 4 2/3 and only allowed 2 earned runs, but his pitch count got out of control, so he only went 4 2/3. And then the start before that, he went 7 1/3, but also allowed 4 earned runs. I'm sorry. You cannot call up Jack Caglione, tell me that you are doing these things to take advantage of where you are, saying you're about winning now, risking super to whatever. You can't do all of that, Gold. And then after tonight, tell me that the next start between these two shouldn't or will end up being Noah Cameron. This is a layup now. I'm sorry. This is just a layup.
No, I think it got way easier.
Before, I thought it was a decision, Gold. I thought we were going to have to, like, come on here and go back and forth and be like, no, here's the pro, here's the con. Does it make sense? What should they do? Do they stash Cameron in case, you know, because Cole Reagans has had some injury trouble this year a little bit. He's been very effective when he does pitch. But, you know, and Lugo had the little thing flare up. So, you know, do you risk it? Do you stash? No. No, Cameron has to start. And if you got to stretch out Michael Lorenzen somewhere down the road, well, then you got to stretch out Michael Lorenzen down the road. Or it goes to Kyle Wright, who is now transferred from AAA or from AA to AAA as a part of his rehab assignment. And now he's your safety net as a starting pitcher for a guy who is stretched out instead of Michael Lorenzen. Lorenzen's been an effective bullpen guy before. He's been an effective swing guy before. Why can't he just go back to that role? They've gotten their value out of Lorenzen already. He's been a very good pitcher for them. I just think that Noah Cameron should start.
Yeah, you know, this is the situation that I think at some point when you have a fifth starter, you wonder, okay, how long can the success that you had at the beginning of the season, how long can that last? I mean, because you look early on this year, I mean, he had a six-inning outing where he gave up just one earned run. He had, in fact, in the month of April, he had three outings where he went at least six innings and gave up one run. So he was stellar. But then you see the calendar flip to May, 4 2/3, five earned runs given up. He did have a seven-inning outing on May 9th against Boston where he pitched seven innings, didn't give up a single run. But his last three outings, 7 1/3, four runs, 4 2/3, two runs, five innings, six earned. And then last night, as we mentioned, 2 2/3, seven earned runs. So this is two outings in a row where it's been six or more. That is now four outings in a row where it's been shaky, to say the least. He didn't even go deep in that game against the Giants, despite it was two earned runs, but his pitch count already ballooned up to 97, 4 2/3.
He didn't even make it through five innings in that one.
So it's obviously teetered in a completely different direction than where he was in the month of April. And I think they're going to end up moving to the bullpen after tonight.
I don't even care if Noah Cameron gets rocked. He should still be the starter. Gold, if he does the exact same thing as Noah Cameron tonight, he goes 2 2/3 and allows seven. Okay, so but his other four starts before this are 6 1/3, 6 1/3, 6 2/3, and 6 1/3, and he's allowed three total earned runs. One is still the hotter pitcher, and I guess part of this is like we talk sometimes in baseball, like they can't just reverse decisions if this goes poorly. It's like they can't ever let Michael Lorenzen pitch again. No, I think it's fine, and I think Michael Lorenzen could be an effective bullpen piece, and I like the stretch guy and a guy who can go multiple innings and. You know, that has been Daniel Lynch, but I got to be honest, I think he might have to miss a couple of games if he's got a giant welt on his hand. They said last night they're not worried about it being broken or anything, but Daniel Lynch has been your long man, and Daniel Lynch might need a couple of days off. So Michael Lorenzen would typically throw a side of 20 or 30 pitches. He could pitch in the bullpen two nights from now and be available to your team. I will say they need a little bit of depth tonight because they had to go 6 1/3 out of the bullpen last night. So they could actually use Noah Cameron to maybe get a little distance tonight, don't you think? I honestly thought this was going to be a harder decision. I thought the Royals, if you'd asked me 2 weeks ago, you'd be like, what ends up happening? Or a week ago, I'd have said, what ends up happening is they send Noah Cameron down, just like they did the last time that he made a start for somebody and pitched great and almost threw a no-hitter, and they send him down, and they'll call him back up when they need him because he's pitched so well and the Lorenzen struggled so much. I don't even know if it's up for debate.
Yeah, that's one of those scenarios that it truly... you start to have the conversation like, oh, how are they going to handle this certain spot? Usually it just in pitching specifically, it all usually works itself out. It doesn't always mean it's the best case scenario, but somebody starts to not perform as well. Somebody else goes and pitches extremely well, or somebody gets hurt. I mean, this is the kind of it usually works itself out. We talk about trade possibilities later on in the year. All that stuff usually works itself out. And the Royals a week or two ago, when we first started talking about their options with this, at that point in time, they didn't need to make a decision. And now the decision, I think, has kind of been made for them based off of performance from their own players. And that makes it easier. Not that it, you know, I'm sure if you're Michael Lorenzen, obviously you want to be in the pit. You want to be in the starting rotation still. But as you mentioned, he's moved back and forth before. So him going to the bullpen, it's a role that I don't, you know, he's a vet, right? You're not messing with a young pitcher's confidence or something like that. This is a guy that's been in the league for a very long time.
As a starter, he is 33-37 with a 4.27 ERA and 564 2/3 innings pitched. As a reliever, he's 17-13 with a 3.76 ERA and 354 innings. There is a difference. There's not a massive difference, but there's about a half an ERA difference, Gold, between him as a starter and him as a reliever. But the point is that he's pitched 350 innings in relief in his career and 560 as a starter. This is not going to be a difficult transition to him, and why wouldn't you go with the young guy in Noah Cameron who could do stuff different? The one biggest thing he does different as a reliever that obviously helps him keep the ERA down is he strikes out more hitters, like a lot of guys do in the bullpen, Gold, because they can max effort throw. I don't see any harm, especially because you mentioned the injuries to the bullpen right now, right? Urseg now down for a little bit. Lynch got hit by that ball last night. And again, I don't think he's going to have to go to the IL or anything, but I don't think having an extra arm there is going to hurt anything. Even though he pitched last night, I'm guessing based on the number of pitches he threw in that game. What did he get to? Anybody know what his pitch count was by the time he got rolled last night? Couldn't have been that high. He got rolled in the third inning.
Oh, Lorenzen? Sorry, 74.
Yeah. God, he got to 74 in the third inning. But point is, he can still
seven
be
hits, seven earned,
days.
Two homers.
That's tough. What a win last night, though, man.
I think it was for this season. It's number one or number two. If you just consider everything that went into it, you know, the energy around Cags' debut, even if he went for 0-for-5, and also you're in St. Louis. There are plenty of Royals fans did make the trip out there. You're wondering about this offense. It's getting talked about even more after the Cags call up. They reshuffle the order a little bit, and for you to be able to come back, it was one of the best wins of the season. It really was.
Yeah, hands down. I do say, and like, obviously, again, it was a very quick trip, so we were trying to like make the most of it. Every time I go to another downtown ballpark, I can't help. I'm just like, you don't want this. This is not what you want. Go, come on. How cool is the Ballpark Village there in St. Louis?
Oh, it's great. It really is.
All the businesses, all the action, everything's close. The stadium has kind of a different feel to it, I think you were pointing out. It kind of feels more
it's
like
a newer ballpark,
a coliseum a little bit in some ways.
And I've been there before, and you have as well. It's been over 10 years since I had been there in St. Louis. Been to some other downtown ballparks as well.
But it's been a while.
But the ability, you can see the areas prior to a game. You can obviously hang out. The areas you can go to after that are right there. There's a hotel with, I don't know, what would you, 200 feet from one of the gates of the stadium, right there.
There were bleachers and like a top of a bar technically out of the stadium, but like the seats match the stadium. So they kind of like mimic the skyline part of it.
Yeah. They have their, you know, their version of KC Live, you know, they have that right there. We obviously have Power and Light, but just imagine that setting around a baseball stadium. And I understand like every city skyline is going to be different. Like you can't replicate the arch. Okay. But I will say, as much as we joked about St. Louis yesterday, when you're in the ballpark and you're looking out to the outfield, it is a beautiful scene. It really is. And that's something that downtown baseball provides. Yeah. I get it that Pittsburgh skyline is not something you can replicate. The arch you can't replicate, things like that. But the idea of having everything around a ballpark, you could do that in the suburbs, but there's a different vibe to downtown baseball. Anybody that's been there to downtown at a ballpark, you kind of know what we're talking about. If you've never experienced downtown baseball, I think it is maybe hard to fathom why it's different than just going to a game, whether it's in the suburbs or just in any area. We all know right now where they're at. There's a Taco Bell and there's a gas station. I mean, that's nobody's disputing. But it was a beautiful scene last night there at the ballpark. It's still a very nice park, even though I think they want to do some renovations at some point. I don't know what they need to renovate. Yeah. It's pretty darn good to me.
Yeah, it looked. I mean, other than the AC didn't work in the press box. I mean, it was a bit muggy in there.
We were fortunate. Yeah, we didn't have to. Yeah, we.
No, I'm not. Yeah. That's a mild complaint. I'm just pointing out that did not work, and I thought maybe they
first
were doing
world
that.
Nobody wants to hear
actually,
you complain about
deep state conspiracy. What I think happened here is, I think the AC doesn't work because they want the media members to write about how the ballpark needs the renovation. They want the people who work
in St.
Louis.
That's your conspiracy.
To be like. Yes, they should renovate it because they think it'll come with like a window unit or whatever the hell will cool that place down. That's what I actually think is happening. But again, it's cool. It's cool to be downtown. And I get it. Like someone was like, you guys told us yesterday you didn't want to walk.
No, we were told.
From the office, we were told not to. And that was at 11 o'clock at night. We were parked in a garage down there for, I would say, a very comparable price to what you pay to park at Kauffman Stadium right now. I paid $30 to park. There were cheaper ones. There were signs for cheaper ones, $20, $25. There were signs for more expensive ones. I'm not going to lie that's not the case either. What do you pay to park a Kauffman these days? $25? I don't want to sound like the person who's like, what's a gallon of milk cost? You know, $20? Because a lot of times,
$1? $1?
$1? It's 25.
99 cents?
It's $25 to park a Kauffman, right? And so, like, for $5 extra, and I get it. Like, people like the tailgate in that part, but that's not baseball. The thing about tailgating is, and I'm not saying none of you tailgated a baseball game.
Sure, but it's not the same as a football game. We know that.
That's why football can be where it is now, or it can be in the Legends area, or it can be in multiple parts of town. Baseball deserves to be downtown, and I get it. You'd be like, damn it, I can't tailgate and say you spend $15 for a beer. I understand. I understand that some of this reaches a price point or scratches the stuff that is, but like, I don't know. I had no trouble parking. And like, look, we got there early, admittedly, but I don't think we would have had any trouble parking considering when we did get
there.
But,
you know, I actually prefer just looking at and seeing an abandoned hotel and a torn down Denny's parking lot. And that's what I actually prefer when I look out in the outfield.
Is it fair to say, too, that baseball is not a tailgating sport anyway? So the fact that you'd lose tailgating doesn't affect the vibe of what you can get with at a baseball stadium.
So since I go to watch baseball, not walk around downtown, ridiculous logic, I would say in 2025, you are few and far between, sir. Unfortunately, I think that the diehard baseball fan, you're right, they could put the stadium anywhere and you would go. The stadium could be crumbling and you would still go to a baseball game if you're saying you're just there for baseball. The reality is, hell, the Royals did this with the renovation in 2012 or 2013 before the All-Star
game. Trying to keep you entertained
when
the entire time.
When they added the outfield, the little K, the carousel, and all that stuff in the outfield, that was designed because they need more entertainment options. You're right. Like for me, I'm kind of with you. For me, I just need the baseball game. That is not the majority of people that take their families to games and the people you're trying to get to go to games. That's just that's ballparks all across the country. Like, it is not just about the baseball product. I know for a lot of people, that's all they need.
It's
they could be the most bare bones stadium and you would go, but that's not the diehard fans. That's not who they're worried about keeping or not keeping with the amenity at a stadium. Those fans are going to be there. It's about getting the casual fan that wants to be entertained in other ways besides just seeing the bottom of the third inning. That's not what everybody's going there for.
And for what all this is worth, Alex and I have stated multiple times, I love Kauffman Stadium. I do think it's a pretty ballpark. I'm just saying, like, I'm surprised people don't want downtown baseball. It just makes a lot of sense. I will say, if we mentioned the Missouri legislature stuff, let's make a show to Mangold. If they renovate, you and I both think that they should just build a new stadium for the Chiefs. It makes more sense, financial and otherwise, versus a $1.15 billion renovation to Arrowhead. If the taxpayers agree to renovate Arrowhead, it should come with bringing back Coco Keys. You actually have to, as part of your agreement to renovate Arrowhead, you actually have to bring back Coco Keys, and it has to feel exactly like it did in the 1990s. I want it to be like stepping back into a time machine and visiting Coco Keys at like 1994. What do you think, Ian?
Coco, I can hear the commercial still. I can hear the jingle. Like I can hear the high pitched kid in the commercial saying Coco Key Water Resort. I can hear that over and over in my head.
Do you ever go to Coco Keys?
Nope. Never
me
went.
Either. Damn.
Never
went. Missed out our opportunity. You know.
Never went.
Is that essentially
turns
just
out
like
not
Great
a lot? Turns out a lot of people didn't go because it doesn't exist anymore. No. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Weren't they at one point turning that old Adams Mark into like a pickleball facility? Did that happen ever?
There was talk about that.
Is that a done deal?
I feel like the last couple of times I've looked at it, it just looks like it's boarded up.
Yeah.
So I mean, if it's pickleball, it's like apocalypse themed. Like, I don't think it's like, maybe I'm wrong. I haven't seen it. I guess I haven't looked that hard lately, but not a lot going on there. Not a lot going on there. Someone says, and you guys about the same thing. I don't consider North Kansas City to be downtown. I think that they can stretch it closer to downtown. The one thing I will say.
Throw in a holodome while we're at it. Yeah, the holodomes, man. Yes. Yes.
Let's demand some nostalgia out of this thing. And you know what? Put the truck back in left field for just no reason.
Let's get the Watson's hot tub. Let's have them change their name from, I think it's Family Leisure, go back to Watson's. And let's just get, let's have everything.
Get some of this stuff back.
Before they leave Kauffman, they actually have to retrofit it back to 1995 and 1999. Everything from the 90s.
For the next 5 years, we get to play like 1990s Kauffman Stadium.
Get rid of all the upgrades for the final 5 years. Yeah, I need all the 1999 stuff in there.
It's like a throwback
feel. Also got to bring back the partnership with Krispy Kreme from the early 2000s. I need a dozen donuts.
Do we need the Chiefs and Royals to split for a little bit? We got to go back to the chopper seats and the Hy-Vee seats. They need to switch. Because right now they've got partnerships on the other aisle. They got Price's Chopper and Hy-Vee, but it's
true.
The wrong,
that's right.
It's at the opposite stadium.
Chiefs and
for a
Chopper,
couple of years.
Chiefs
and Chopper and the $5 Hy-Vee.
All
seats.
The way back. Yeah.
Everything in the shop has to be 90s themed. You know, the clothing is to the 90s too. Yeah.
Yeah. Someone says that the pickleball part of the down the Adams Mark or whatever, what was the Adams Mark, is supposed to open next week. So there you go. It's opening on the 10th and 11th. So that is
okay,
a thing.
Okay, cool.
I thought they were doing something there.
There's no more Chiefs themed cups. It's all the styrofoam purple and green, whatever pattern that was, cups they used to get.
I love Reed on Twitch says bring back the AstroTurf. Like, it's all just kind of.
before they leave. They have to go all that. And you know what?
Frank White used to say it would be 120 degrees. Like he would tell, like it'd be like 120 degrees on the field because the concrete, the AstroTurf was so bad, it'd just be like, it'd be so hot.
Yeah. And then while they're at it, go ahead and rebuild. Just do a pop-up Denny's. Just, you know, the location they closed down and burned down. Just do a pop-up Denny's just for the final 5 years. Just a temporary little location there on top of it.
This
all
is
retro.
Be, this
have
is
a Wendy's
be.
In the stadium with the retro Wendy's cups, like the old ooh, color scheme from Wendy's.
This is going to be very nostalgic, you know? I'm going to like this. I'm going to like this. You and I are going to do a remote from Coco Keys, walk over to retro.
We'll revamp Coco Keys.
That's our next business idea. Golden, I thought Coco Keys didn't work the last time right there in the I, you know, the that part of I-70. Let's do it again.
All right, let's get to the trash of the day. I feel like once or twice a year we get a story like this, and I still don't ever know how it happens, but it does multiple times a year. We go to the Czech Republic for this one. An 88-year-old woman was found seemingly unresponsive by her husband on a Friday morning, assuming she
tough
was...
Tough thing to wake up to, sure.
You know, last week we had the story where the hikers were on mushrooms and they thought their friend was dead, and then he wasn't. This one is the husband thought his wife had passed away. Assuming she was dead, he called 911. They promptly dispatched a coroner to the scene. The husband told police department she wasn't moving, she wasn't breathing. The coroner declared the elderly retiree dead. After the lady was placed in the coffin, she opened her eyes and started breathing. So she's alive, she's dead at the hospital. She was placed in the coffin and then she woke up.
How do you not? I mean, that's we don't have to check crazy. Pulses now.
So she wasn't buried alive.
Put a piece of mirror under their nose to make sure they're not breathing. Could you make them waking up in the coffin?
No, I can't imagine.
Dude?
No.
My God.
They had
that would be just one of the most terrifying incidents of all time.
The quote
they had
to
check their pulse, Cody. There was a coroner. No way they didn't.
Right.
Maybe he was just having a bad day. Bender the night before.
I mean,
trying to speed through saying, well, her husband says she's dead, so it's probably fine. Just everyone has bad days at their job, Drew.
Yeah, that's
maybe
true.
You're trying to mail this one in.
The woman's husband added the funeral services workers put her in a coffin, and when they were right there, they found out she was alive. It's serious. I'm completely unhappy about it, the husband said. Police have now said they are investigating possible misconduct by the coroner, who apologized for the mix-up, said three times in the past they had received calls to say a person was dead but turned out alive. This is also not the first time someone has come back from the dead, according to the coroner.
That would
claiming
be true,
like,
but...
Wow, that's a bold excuse. What if she was dead this whole time and then came back alive? You're like, come on, man. And by the way, that better be... And look, you can try that claim, but I'll be honest with you. That is a one-time pass. You don't get to try to pull that one again in a couple years and be like, maybe they were dead and then came back alive.
You said this happened multiple times, though, where they've had calls and they were announced dead, but they were alive or came back.
I just can't imagine waking up cold.
All these in the Czech Republic?
You would just wake up and you're in a coffin.
That'd be crazy.
In a coffin.
You probably don't even know where you're at. Like, you wouldn't know that you're in a coffin.
I mean, what a just horrible...
I mean, you can beat and bang against the wood, I guess, and maybe somebody hears you. That's what I want to know what it was like. When did
someone
they realize
they
that she was alive?
Someone,
like Kill Bill?
Someone says there's no way this is true. They have to embalm her before they go. I don't know. This is in the Czech
Republic. Well, maybe that's a United States rule and not a Czech Republic rule.
This is in the Czech Republic. This is from a site called metro.co.uk. It's not like it's a random site. It's a real news outlet there.
You didn't
find
it from the Sun or whatever?
No, it's a real website. Fairly reputable.
Someone says, how do you not immediately think zombie and then try to do something about it? This person was dead and now they're alive? Zombie. The zombie apocalypse is officially here. I just think the guy's bad at his job. I kind of agree with the text line here. I think the coroner might just suck.
You got to get fired for that.
For him to say that it's happened multiple times,
if you cannot correctly identify
tough.
Someone as... I would argue... That is the single thing in the job you have to do. There's some things you can mess up as a coroner. The only thing you have to get right is, are they dead? Yes or no? That is legitimately the only important part of the job.
Someone says this is where the saying saved by the bell comes from. People being buried with a bell just in case they're alive, they can hear the bell ring.
Wait, saved for real? That's where saved by the bell came from? I used to watch that before school all the time.
Well,
do you want saved by the bell?
Okay, a little bit, yeah.
I don't know the age difference. Drew probably doesn't even know what that show is. He doesn't even know who A.C. Slater or Zach Morris are.
I know the phrase Jesse Saved by the Bell, obviously, but I don't know the show at all.
You've never heard of Zach Morris?
No. If I saw a picture of them, maybe I would know, but I'm not a good names person more than
the episode where Jesse Spano gets addicted to speed is one of the funniest episodes in TV history.
You don't die and go get put in the coffin the same day. How long did the story go on for? I'm just reading it. I've got questions, too. It's a fair point. I don't know. But yeah, the coroner picks up from the husband's house.
Why are you guys all experts on how quickly you end up in the coffin
Someone might be... Look, if
you've got like somebody 18 corners who work on the show,
I listen could be a coroner, they could be in law enforcement, they could be a paramedic, they could all be in funeral services, they would just know.
But if you're a paramedic, you're not the one putting them in the coffin.
No, but they still might know how the process goes.
All right. Maybe you get a training.
And if you're someone that works at a funeral home in town.
We did get a good old dad joke in there from the 816. Sounds like they needed to double check.
Oh, boy.
Shout out to the 816, man. That's a good little dad joke right
Thank
there.
Thank you for that text. All right, that's the trash of the day. Up next, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour and where Pro Football Focus is projecting some of the Chiefs roster. And Drew, this topic and these stats were about 4 days too late based on a prior conversation, but somebody else is pushing back against you. That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour is brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Before we get to Chiefs, can I ask you guys something real quick?
Sure.
So at Odyssey, like a lot of companies, we do these like rewards points things where you like you hand out the points. Remember, we
got a backpack.
We all agreed in the building. He still uses it. We all agreed in the building to combine our points so that we could do the backpack. So every once in a while we'll get like an email, be like, hey, make sure it's the end of the month, use your points. Mm-hmm. And kind of like an old memo line in a check, a lot of times when I give those things, I write stupid, sarcastic, sometimes inappropriate things, if I'm being honest. in the, because you have to write why you're giving them the point. Did you guys realize that they are scrolling those on the screen in the lobby?
Oh, it's on the website. I know that. It's on our company corporate website.
Well, I didn't know that either.
What did you put?
Oh. I've been putting. Okay, it's not like.
It's on the website. You can see them.
I put, it's always either mockery, joking, or sometimes borderline, like I'm not borderline. I have made inappropriate jokes in those.
You're sending it through a corporate system. What are you doing?
I didn't think they would scroll it on the TV.
But you're still sending it through a corporate platform. What are you doing, man?
Can't just be funny, ha ha in this world?
But you're sending it through literally like the corporate system. It's not even like a...
I didn't realize they put it on the website, too.
What's the last one you said? Now I want to know what you've been saying.
Thankfully, I did not give up any of my points in May. I held on to them all. You can't actually keep them. I just forgot to send them to people. So... if they're scrolling May, I think I'm safe. But there was one probably back in like February, maybe. I don't know. There's been a couple that I would prefer not scroll. And I didn't know were scrolling. Did you guys know that?
I didn't know they were on the TV downstairs. I know they scroll.
They're just on the lobby TV.
They scroll on our portal for the company on the website.
It's against my natural instinct to type. 15 points for Drew for his hard work, dedication, loyalty at this time.
So
of
what
crisis.
Did you type?
I don't know. I always just put like, thanks for the fun time, weirdo. You know, I'll just put it. It doesn't matter. I mean,
have you seen these, Drew?
That.
He sent them to you.
Not to Drew.
Cody and I don't send points to each other. Usually they get sent to you or somebody if I do it. But
no, we sent them all to you that one time just for the backpack. Yeah. Note to self.
I've been trying to repay the favor to people. I think Gold, you're up next. I've repaid Cody and our guy Sam Stevie in the building. Maybe Speck too. No, it's your turn.
You know, someone says, time to check your browser history. What else do you have going on over there?
Oh, geez.
What else has got going on the computer over there?
This? I don't even. The only thing that's ever pulled up on here is the text line.
Okay.
I stay, I don't need the company. I mean, I'm on the company Wi-Fi, I guess, on my laptop. But
people
are
now, typing in what they believe you've messaged Drew before in the company portal.
I've given Drew points before. Oh, man.
Just bleak. Put fantastic, all caps, every time you send something to Drew.
Just inside jokes?
Uh-huh. Fantastic.
I'm going to give you my points this month. Although I can't give you all my points. They now cut us down to I can't just give you all my points. You can only have like 10 or 15 of them.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. They're stifling me. Mm. They don't want me to give you all my points. They want me to limit them.
I think in order to give Drew points, you have to type in any of Drew's drops or anything on the show.
Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, so like I think you, it would be...
The next time I give the points, I should type in a drop from somebody on the show?
Yeah.
Like, either drop from me or Drew?
It's not that great.
Yeah, like I think
you need a custom shaft.
I think you have to put that in the comments. You know, I think it's stuff like that, or
I use a regular shaft.
Stuff like that, or
15 points for your custom shaft.
This is worth 30.
You will not decorate my balls. Period. I will decorate my balls.
I think that could be worth 30 points.
That's worth 30 points.
I did tell you guys. I talked to my brother about this. Actually, I talked to my brother about that conversation as well. By the way,
I write this like Drew. And then, because you always have to assign a category, courage, creativity, those. Mm-hmm. All right, for courage, and then it just says this.
There's a greater chance that it does result in some pleasure.
Just in that. That's in fairness, that's a situation, like the nonsense.
Mm-hmm. So good.
All right, anyway.
I saw it on the TV and I needed to ask a question.
Pro Football Focus. Is that kind of time of the year where they start to project a little bit about the rosters for teams and how did the analytics site at least view the starting lineup or the potential starting lineup? Like most of this is figured out. We kind of already know. Really, the debate starting wise is whether or not Josh Simmons is going to be the left tackle, whether or not Kingsley is going to be the starting left guard. Other than that, we kind of know how this is playing out, right? Isaiah Pacheco will be the number one running back for this team on the depth chart heading into the season. You know, defensively, there's maybe a few more questions, but I think we, for the most part, kind of know how this is going to play out. Maybe there's a debate on is Jalen Watson still going to be viewed as a starting corner along with McDuffie and Fulton, or is there a chance that Noel Williams, the rookie, could end up factoring in there? But they were going through and grading out. You know, they have some players based off of, I think, last year's grade. Some of them are just flat out projections. And so, like, they have Mahomes, like an 83 grade, Pacheco 79, Kareem Hunt 74. And you look at how they projected the starting roster. Do you think, based off of this, is there any starter listed that you disagree with? because the one that I still seriously question, Cody, at left tackle is Josh Simmons. Like, I am still very skeptical that he's starting week one. They project him to Pro Football Focus. I would love for that to be the case, but I still think there is a pretty good chance that Jalen Moore is the starting left tackle week one.
The amount of money they gave Jalen Moore, and look, they didn't give him like he's the starter no matter what money, right? If they had given Dan Moore the contract he got, Gold, we're probably having a slightly different conversation. But because of the amount of money they gave him, he's definitely in very serious consideration, and you and I will not know whether or not Joshua Simmons is capable of playing until August. It's June. So like today, Andy Reid will talk, maybe Andy Heck will talk, and they'll be like, hey, how's he looking? In what? Curls? He's not doing any leg workouts right now. He's not on the field. Yeah. He's not healthy enough to play. This isn't a knock. He's coming off a major injury, in which will take time. And so to project him as the starter right now, I think is a little premature. Every other player on there, I was just looking at the offense, I'm like, it lists Isaiah Pacheco as the number one running back. I think that that's accurate. It lists Rice and Worthy as the two number one wide receivers, like one and two. I think that's accurate, with Hollywood Brown being third. The offensive line, other than Joshua Simmons, we agree with, probably make the most sense. This is the part of the PFF Pro Football Focus one that started to make me feel uncomfortable. Because their projected defensive line, I did not feel comfortable with. A defensive line that includes Chris Jones, Mike Pennell, George Karloftis, Mike Dana, and Felix Anudika sharing the outside edge spot. Does that sound like a good defensive line?
Don't mention a Charles in here.
That's the part that's incorrect.
That's the part that's incorrect.
Like, I just
Charles is mentioned in the article below.
I think, from Arrowhead Pride. Yeah,
but he's never been a full-time starter, and so I'm wondering if they're just thinking like maybe Dana would take his mini snaps.
I disagree. Again, they're grades that they list next to the names based off of some college grading, some NFL grading from even a couple years ago in some cases. I just flat out think they whiffed Pro Football Focus on their starting projection.
You think the other edge cannot, is Charles Aminihue, not Mike Dana, and that Mike Dana
or Felix. I mean, at least Felix even. Like, I just think it's flat out wrong. Charles Aminihue, who's back on a one-year deal, who, if he has a full season, I think is a 10-sack guy, an 8 to 10-sack guy, I really do. He, if we were to project the starting lineup, would be the starter today before Felix Anudike Uzama. Not before Mike Dana necessarily, but he would be right there in terms of snaps with Dana. I think this is off. Like, that's poor research on PFS part. Felix, I would love for him to have a great year in his third year in the league. We've talked plenty about him, obviously, where he was drafted. But Charles Aminihue, unless he gets hurt and is unavailable week one, and he has an injury in training camp, Felix is not getting more snaps at the beginning of the season, as in the projected depth chart, projected lineup.
The only other thing that stood out is that I kind of hoped Jaden Hicks would maybe get a mention as a, you know, as a possible starter for the team, because I kind of want him to win the job over some of the other guys who've been fine. I'm not saying Connor and Cook haven't been okay. They've been okay safeties. But with Justin Reed gone, I actually think it should kind of be an open competition at safety, and may the best man win. And I think that that could very well be Jaden Hicks by the time this thing is done. But I mean, just going back to it, even if you replace Charles Aminihue, replaces Dana, and Dana replaces Felix Anudike. So like the line is,
what about Mike Pennell being listed as a starter?
Mike Pennell's a nice artillery.
Yes.
Norman Lott, if he eventually gets to that point.
That would be the more important thing. They didn't really list any rookies as potential starters for this team other than Joshua Simmons.
Mike Pennell serves a great role for this team. He's helped this team win a Super Bowl. We've had him on at training camp before. Nothing against him, but I don't believe I would list him as the starting defensive lineman opposite Chris Jones. Now, my only thing, and I don't know if they did this for every team, is Pro Football Focus, they projected the 2025 starting rosters for all teams. Are they refusing to put rookies? They're not, because Josh Simmons is listed as a starting left tackle in there. So I don't know what they're doing.
I'm very confused. That's why I'm asking. Are there any surprises?
Yeah, I think
Omar Norman Lott would make a lot of sense to me. If you said,
or Tillery, he's not a rookie, but Tillery over Mike Pennell, I would even say is a possibility there.
Yeah, I that's fine. But I mean, I don't know if I'm like,
does
not
it matter?
Like,
I guess.
Yeah. Like, I'm not blown away by either. If you tell me that's a starting defensive tackle, I'm like, that'll fix it.
I hear you.
Like, I still think that there's a depth issue and a top-end talent issue, unless, again, George Karloftis takes another 10% increase in what he has already done to be a very good player in the NFL, and Chris Jones returns to form. That will solve a decent chunk of their problems for a team that was top three in sacks 2 years in a row before last year, where they were near the bottom of the league instead. Meanwhile, the NFL is always coming up with new metrics. Drew, I don't know if you're aware of this. The NFL likes to track these things and pay attention and take a look at, like, stats that might help teams analyze how they view these things. You might remember.
Like the next gen stats or whatever.
This came up on the drive back. You know, we didn't have much to do from midnight till
A 4-hour drive. Might as well talk about
midnight
stuff.
To 3 a.m. Someone was asking, what music do we listen to? There was some on, but honestly, we just talked. We just kind of talked a little bit.
And one for a living, I guess.
Yeah.
4 hours. We're used to that.
We might as well have just recorded the show in the car on the drive back.
Dude, could you imagine if we just said we're going to do that? We're going to play it spec and then we're just going to go to sleep.
Yeah, but no, at one point, Cody said, did you see these offensive line numbers? We were just having the conversation early in the week with Drew. Obviously, we got a disagreement about Joe Burrow and Mahomes, and ultimately we settled on Drew just thinks Joe Burrow is just as good as Mahomes, and obviously I firmly disagree with that. And he was saying, well, Mahomes, the offensive line issues, Joe Burrow's had a worse situation to deal with, and his numbers are more impressive. That was the conversation earlier in the week. But found some more numbers from Aaron Schatz.
Aaron Schatz, who we've had on the show a number of times. Very good analytical guy to take a look at these things. Drew, here's the problem. Another flaw has been found in your system, which is the numbers you put out were the number of times Joe Burrow has been pressured. Well, good news.
That's from Warren Sharp. The numbers I gave you were from Warren Sharp.
I understand, but that's just number of pressures. Now what I'm telling you is the NFL last year introduced a metric called uncaused pressure rate.
Oh, is it that stupid graph?
I'm just telling you.
Hold on.
Is there a graph?
He didn't use a graph. He just gave numbers. Okay, I'm sure there is a graph.
There's another graph that's out there, maybe around the same thing.
I'm sure it is graphed. But they rank this based on what they view are uncaused pressures, as in the offensive line got your player in trouble, or what are pressures that are caused
from the quarterback,
not from the offensive line, but instead at the quarterback's disposal. And you'll be surprised to find out, despite the fact you think Patrick Mahomes is not taking advantage of his poor left tackle play and he should just overcome it the way Joe Burrow did, Patrick Mahomes last year rated number one in assisting his offensive line in pressures, including the fact that he saved them more than you might know, and that the offensive line played even worse than people think based on these statistics, as in he might have had one of the five worst offensive lines in football had he not saved them from pressure. And I got bad news on Joe Burrow's front. He is part of the problem. It is not just that he plays behind a bad offensive line. For the 2 years that this stat has existed, he is ranked in the bottom seven both years in uncaused pressure rates, as in he's making the offensive line's problem worse. So maybe they're not a great offensive line, but Joe Burrow's making it worse.
And still led the league in passing yards and touchdowns et cetera. You know,
one metric?
That ultimately is where it doesn't.
Interesting.
You can look at those numbers.
But Patrick Mahomes did that 2 years ago.
If anything, Joe Burrow's making it harder on himself to do what he did, based on what you've said. Joe Burrow's making it harder on the offensive line, but also, mind you, leading the league in passing yards and touchdowns.
But Mahomes did that 2 years ago.
Wait. So now, stop for a second. Wait, now Joe Burrow gets credit for not doing something well. He's doing something that hurts his team, but because he's overcoming his own flaws, that means he's better now? What?
It'd be like,
I think it's, you know,
I'm actually really proud of Mahomes for throwing all those interceptions because they've overcome them, you know?
Yeah.
What?
You know,
you're saying that Joe Burrow is making it harder on himself and
I'm saying he wouldn't need to throw 43 touchdowns and 5,000 yards if he'd stop putting his team in a disadvantageous position by making his offense, by putting them in longer down and distances, by forcing them to punt more, or any of the other normal things that take place.
I'll be honest, this new metric thing,
it's pretty new. It's a pretty new metric.
It seems a little subjective.
It seems like there's a little bit of bias in this.
And Drew's probably stunned.
I think it's bias.
I'm very stunned that you're actually having this side of things, Gold. I'm very surprised.
Disagree quite a bit with Drew on this Chiefs-Bengals-Mahomes-Burrow thing, because I think it's absolutely ridiculous to say that Burrow is, you know, on the exact same level as Mahomes.
I'm very surprised you have this.
But this metric thing, it does seem
like... Can I say that this metric passes the eye test, though? When we watch Mahomes, he helps.
I'll agree with that. You can obviously see
he helps his team from not getting sacked.
He finds a way to, yes.
And when you watch Joe Burrow, it is the opposite.
I don't think that's true.
Joe Burrow is really good at getting himself sacked sometimes. I actually think he could make the argument. Joe Burrow could say, I caused myself some more sacks, but I do it for a reason. because I'm a quick release guy, because I want to put the ball down the field. He could make an argument for why he does it, but he definitely does
it. I just don't think you cannot say Burrow, because he's not good at this metric, it actually is even more impressive now what he's doing. Like, no, like that's part of his play, because the whole point of from a few days ago was that Joe Burrow has a worse O-line and he's done more, and Mahomes has a bad O-line, but he hasn't done as much. And then now there's this other metric that's saying, actually, Mahomes is what he does for his offensive line. It's not even what he's been doing. It's that his offensive line has been even worse than we realized.
Is there an aspect?
It's like I set a fire, but I'm a firefighter. I put it out.
Yeah, that isn't.
Is there an aspect of the time to throw situation? Because I think time to throw, Joe Burrow has it significantly worse. Jaden Daniels had it worse.
I haven't looked that up. I don't know the worst time to throw.
Because time to throw is, I think, a part of the metric that if Joe Burrow's got more time to throw, technically, and he still is allowing the pressure, that's where we have a problem. But if he has less time to throw, which, based on watching the Bengals a significant amount, obviously,
Joe Burrow,
it feels that way more to me than it does at times with Patrick Mahomes. So yes, we all know that he pulls some Houdini acts where the man should be sacked, but he's not, and finds a way to make plays almost as good, if not better, than anybody else does. I just think that there's a lot, there's other, it's like when Golds mentioned you guys have talked about like narrowing the stats so much that it proves a point, but the stats so narrow that it's almost too hyper-focused.
I'm saying this adds some to the other stats that we've already mentioned.
I think it's fair.
The bigger, like the way to sum it up though still is just, we've somehow normalized trying to make a case that Patrick Mahomes is not any better than Joe Burrow. And I think that is absolutely insane. And Joe Burrow is awesome. And 95% of teams would take Joe Burrow as their starting quarterback. I have him as the third best quarterback in football. I think Josh Allen is the second best quarterback in football. Joe Burrow is not on the same level as Patrick Mahomes, plain and simple. You can cite me any of these random offensive line metrics, and we can go through different mental gymnastics and hurdles and things like that. But like, that's what I guess what I get annoyed is, like, any stat or whatever, it always is with the intention of sometimes you trying to like level the field as if Burrow is right there with Mahomes, and he's just not.
When I watch both of them play, they are the two best quarterbacks in the league. There's nobody better than those two, in my mind.
They're two of the best.
I think they are the two best quarterbacks.
Though, right?
Patrick Mahomes is 1A. Joe Burrow is 1B. They are the two best quarterbacks.
There's no
one
next to Joe Burrow's name, I guess. Like, there's no 1A, 1B. There's 1A, and then Burrow, you can maybe make a debate. He's the second best. I think he's the third best. But like, we got Joe Burrow, even if Patrick Mahomes, statistically, it's been down the last year, he's not like, he's just simply not on the same level as Patrick Mahomes. I'm sorry. Like, you can't, we don't just do win losses, but if you haven't been in the playoffs in 3 years, you can't even start to have that convo.
Again, those aren't individual quarterback things.
Mahomes is potentially going to go down as one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. To be in that conversation, you can't.
That is a factor.
Yeah, and I think that there's no team.
So we're talking about like Tom Brady versus Mahomes. Like, we understand that there are different metrics in which those two get measured against each other, because the standard is different.
And I think that, when you look at, like, Tom's career, Tom had the easiest division in football, one of them, for a very long time. And that's the argument for Tom. Well, of course he was in the playoffs. He had the greatest coach of all time. He had a great defense. Like, these are the, like, Tom is one of the greatest, like, quarterbacks, one of the greatest winners of all time.
Right, and he's got the rings to show it, too.
I understand, but if we're talking individual quarterback play, I would take a few quarterbacks above Tom Brady in terms of their
athleticism.
Play. Patrick Mahomes is a better quarterback than Tom Brady was. He's a better quarterback than Tom Brady ever was.
But even when we say that, it's athleticism, because Tom Brady, clearly from the mental side of it, is just flat out at a whole other level.
Part of the quarterback. We're just talking athleticism, Michael. Yeah,
athleticism, then Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow and Mahomes are all better than Tom Brady. If we're just talking athleticism.
I'm talking thrower of the football. Aaron Rodgers is a better all-time thrower of the football, playmaker, quarterback than Tom Brady ever was. Dan Marino, you could maybe say.
Joe Burrow is going to be Dan Marino, so I agree with you. We finally agree on something. We found common ground. Joe Burrow, Dan Marino,
same
person.
Put up a lot of stats, not win a Super Bowl, get to one, and then never get back to another.
I honestly think that's where he's headed.
I mean, I think we all know
that. And it's a Hall of Fame career.
Somewhere in the Lamar Jackson, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, and Josh Allen, one's never making a Super Bowl again. There's just not enough to go around because Mahomes has to get to like 60% of them at this rate.
I would take Josh Allen and not make it. I think Lamar will make one.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to disagree terribly. I mean, that's just
coin flip.
Yeah, that one's a coin flip. All right, up next, let's get to what's trending, guys. Then we'll talk more about our trip out to St. Louis yesterday, hear what Jack Caglione had to say following his debut, including what the experience was like and having his family there. I think it was pretty cool. That's coming up next right here on Cody and Gold.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.